So, good morning, everybody. It's 8:30. We thought we'd start right on time so you get your money's worth. My name is Steve Gortmaker, and to start this session, I'd like to make two comments. The first one is that I forgot my Halloween costume. I was really psyched. I have a 64-ounce Coca-Cola mug. It's just huge, you know. And I was going to put it out in front of me, and I was going to be a sugar-sweetened beverage addict. And so at least you can visualize it. That was my Halloween costume. And I'm still trying to figure out the costumes of my our presenters here. So you can figure it out. My second comment really is just a comment on why is policy so important for improving nutrition and preventing obesity? Well, we outlined some of this in a series that I and a bunch of colleagues recently did on obesity in the Lancet, the medical journal. And it's quite clear that if you ask what are the most cost-effective interventions that can reduce obesity, where's the best value for money in trying to make a difference here, that policy interventions generally top those lists. Fiscal, regulatory, other policy actions are really important levers and policy tools. And we're going to hear about some of these today. So our very first speaker will be Sonia Kim from the Division of Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity at the CDC. And Sonia is a Nutrition Policy and Evaluation Fellow in the Division of Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity. And she received her PhD in Nutrition Health Sciences from Emory. And I'm going to give brief introductions like that for everybody, and then they're going to come up and talk. The other presenter here, who's not going to speak, actually, is Captain Heidi Blanc, right here. I'll give brief introductions like that. They'll speak for 12 minutes, and I think were we going to have questions right after or wait till the end? I think we're going to...
We can have a couple right after.
Yeah, a couple right after, clarifying, and then we'll have questions at the end. We want to get the audience involved. Okay, so when you do have a question, stand up and speak loudly. So, Sonia.
Good morning. In this presentation, I'll be discussing the framework that NOPRIN is using for policy research and evaluation to give some context to the presentations that you'll hear in a few minutes. The authors have no financial relationships to disclose. 1 in 3 adults and almost 1 in 5 children are obese in the United States. The obesity epidemic is the result of a chronic energy imbalance due in large part to overconsumption of foods of low nutritive value and foods high in added sugars and fats. Obese children are at risk for diabetes, sleep apnea, metabolic syndrome, and social and psychological problems such as discrimination and poor self-esteem, which can lead into adulthood. In addition, in 2008, overall medical costs related to obesity for U.S. adults were estimated to be $147 billion. Obesity has been linked to reduced worker productivity and chronic absence from work. The schematic from a 2000 article by Dr. Mary Story and colleagues organizes the many factors that influence what we eat into 4 main levels. The first level, individual, includes things like skills, demographic factors, and lifestyle. The second level, the social environment, includes interactions with friends and family that can influence food choices through social support and social norms. The physical environment includes settings where people spend time, work, and learn, such as work sites, schools, and recreation facilities. The final level operates at the most distal and includes sectors or macro-level environments, such as agriculture and policy. And transportation policy. As discussed in the recent Lancet series on obesity that Steve just mentioned, the physiology of energy balance is proximately determined by behaviors and distally by environments. Therefore, population-wide reductions in obesity will require individual changes in diet and physical activity behaviors of people supported by environments and sector policies that are supportive of healthful behaviors. Therefore, like other fields in public health, such as tobacco and injury prevention, in the last several years, obesity prevention has turned to policy strategies to affect change. In her 2011 paper on identifying policy and environmental strategies for prevention of childhood obesity, Brendan provides an overview of how policy can be used to create healthful environments. For example, policies to improve food stores and markets and provide water stations influence the physical environment, increasing access and availability to healthful foods and beverages. Reduced prices for healthier foods affect the economic environment. In terms of the social environment, electronic benefit transfer machines at farmers markets allow SNAP recipients to have engagement with farmers and other community members. And the communication environment can be influenced by policies in stores and restaurants to allow for point of decision prompts and marketing of healthful foods. There are many types of policies. Some people think of policy with a big P, which includes government actions, such as legislation, executive orders, ordinances, zoning, and regulation. And we also have policy with a little p, so those are non-governmental actions, things like contracts or legally binding agreements, organizational policies and institutional practices and guidelines. These policies can operate and be implemented at many levels, including local, so city or counties, state level, federal, and institutional organizational, such as schools, childcare, work sites, things like facilities and parks. As a relatively new field, the evidence for effective strategies to prevent obesity is growing. But to talk about evidence, we need to discuss the types of evidence that people are looking at. In clinical decision-making, the randomized control trial is the gold standard. But the recent IOM committee that developed a framework to guide the use of evidence in decision-making about obesity prevention policies and programs stated that the types of evidence, types of questions that are being asked by decision-makers interested in obesity prevention could be answered only by broadening the concept of evidence to include new ways of using traditional or existing information, including information drawn from a wider range of sources and newly generated evidence that is more focused on the design, implementation, and outcomes of policies and programs to prevent obesity. In other words, since randomized controlled trials are not practical in policy research and evaluation, evidence needs to be built using other types of methods, including natural experiments, practice-based initiatives, such as UNC's Center for Training, Research, and Translation. The types of information that are particularly relevant to decision makers include cost, feasibility, sustainability, and effects on equity. Several approaches to generate this information have been discussed in the literature, including IOM's LEAD framework, REAIM, which began as a more clinical approach, and ACE, assessing cost effectiveness. Bronson and colleagues have also developed a framework for developing evidence-based policy. They discuss three domains that one needs to understand to build this evidence, and they can be studied both qualitatively and quantitatively. The first is process, understanding approaches to enhance the likelihood of policy adoption. So an example from the food environment field could be lessons learned from stakeholders in passing a healthier food retail policy. The second is content, identifying policy elements that are likely to be effective. So in continuing with that example, it could be model laws to establish healthier food retail financing initiatives developed through results of program evaluation. And finally, outcomes, documenting the impact of the policy. So again, continuing with the example, evaluating the outcome of the healthier food retail policy could include measuring the cost of implementing the policy and measuring the increase in the number of grocery stores in a low-income neighborhood. In the fall of 2009, the CDC developed NOPREN, a thematic network of the Prevention Research Center program to help create research and evaluation tools and to build the evidence base on what is deemed to be effective public health policies for improved nutrition and obesity prevention. Using the frameworks and approaches just discussed, NOPREN members conduct policy evaluation and research along a policy spectrum that includes identification of areas subject to policy, development of policy, which includes things like awareness, framing, and bill and standards language, enactment, implementation, or putting the policy into practice, enforcement, looking at consequences and effectiveness, and also looking at cost, feasibility, sustainability, transferability, and equity. So we have 6 funded PRCs, 5 member centers, and 1 coordinating center, and we are in year 3. We also have unfunded members that include affiliates that are PRCs, collaborative members that are universities that are non-PRCs, and several partners. So this is just a map to give you an idea of where our affiliates and funded centers are across the country. So when our sites began, they had to identify pilot projects, and we let them continue these projects when they got funded. These projects include four main areas: menu labeling, food access, sugar drink reduction and water access, and school health. So to move beyond these pilot projects and really take advantage of being in the formal network, NOPRIN uses working groups. Most of our funded sites are also healthy eating research grantees. Our members are part of the healthy eating research work groups. And they've recently started our own work groups, which include water access, sugar drink reduction, policy communications, food policy councils, and rural food access. Bringing together researchers with varied backgrounds and experiences to work together, rather than staying in their silos, has several benefits. We're cultivating leadership in policy evaluation, which is a relatively new field for obesity prevention and nutrition improvement. We're building the evidence base for effective obesity prevention policies with expanded criteria. Acting as a network allows for collaboration and coordination in developing and using tools, and can allow for similar research methods to be used across sites to look at transferability and scalability of policies. Learning from each other strengthens evaluation and research methods, and utilizing our combined resources of the network allows for more efficient dissemination of findings. And in closing, I'd like to just point out the picture here of the Massachusetts State House. That's to remind us of the fact that the goal of the network and of the presentations you're about to hear is to conduct practical research and evaluation that can be used to create effective obesity prevention policies. Thank you.